Amen. Are you glad to be in church here today? Yes, amen. Well, it's good to see everybody on this beautiful Mother's Day. Again, we just take a moment to welcome those that are visiting Family Church here this morning. We are just so glad to have new faces with us here all the time. We want you to be part of our church family. You know, if you're looking for a Bible teaching church and you want to get connected into God's plan for your life, we want to help you with that. Amen. For those that are visiting, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. Pastor Brad Hofer is our associate pastor, and we just welcome you. We just love to help you get into all that God has for your life. Amen. And church, whose opportunity is it to make sure that our visitors feel warm and welcome? That is ours. Let's welcome those that are visiting here today. So glad to have you. Why not again next week at 10:30 a.m.? Come on back. I'll tell you what, you get taught the Word, give the Word free course in your life for a year, and your life will be radically changed. It'll look different, I guarantee it, if you start doing what the Bible says. Praise God. And of course, we want to take another moment to celebrate our mothers here today. We just love you. It is a very special day. Every year, we get to honor our moms, and we're just so blessed here at Family Church to see so many godly mothers. You are praying for your families. You are being great examples for your children. Whether your children are still in the home or they're fully grown, you are so many of these moms are faith warriors, prayer warriors, such a great and godly example. I am so privileged to have the mother that I have. My mom is just, you know, next to my wife. My mom and my dad are next to, you know, my best friends, and just love every moment. My mom is so much fun and just a wonderful, wonderful friend and mother to me. I am so blessed. And then there is my beautiful wife, Pastor Katie. Yes, amen. Just absolutely the most sincere, dynamic, Christian human being on this earth, and just, you know, breaking all the records for being a wife and a mother. If there are records for that, she'd be breaking them. Praise God. Just absolutely, I'll tell you what, my boys and I, we're so blessed. She makes life in our home special every single day. She's a fantastic example to follow. Praise the Lord. And so mothers, hey, we want to honor you here today. Ladies, if you are 18 years of age and up, regardless if you have children or not, we have some flowers out there. Like Pastor Brad was saying, you know, we don't know what they're called. You know, we just, us guys, we just mow them over. You know, we just use the push mower. We just make sure everything's green, all right. But there are some beautiful flowers. I was in the Erie Church last night, and the ladies were, you know, carrying their flowers out. And I'm like, what is that? What, you know, I was asking him. And every time I guessed, I was completely wrong. So ladies, those flowers are out there. They're there for your taking, one each. Of course, at the end, if you stick around, sometimes, some years, we do have extras. And if you're, you know, if you're sticking around, maybe we can hook you up with a second one. But make sure everyone gets a first, right? And ladies and mothers, we honor you. We love you. Church, let's again show our love to our moms. We just love you. We appreciate you. Praise the Lord. Thank you for all of our moms that put up with us, that pray us through, that be such a good example, and loving friends, of course, as we get older. Glory to God. We just honor you here today. Are you ready for the Word of God here this morning? And I'll tell you what, it's moms that you're bringing your families to church. You're working hard. You know, you're guilting us all into it to make sure we're just kidding. You know, but you're working. You're such a good example, getting us to church. Hey, praise God. If it wasn't for my grandmothers, my parents, you know, praying for me, you know, egging me on, I would have never gotten into the plan of God. Amen. So let's get into the Word of God here today, shall we? Turn with me in your Bibles. Go over. We're going to start in Deuteronomy chapter 7. Today, I'm going to call this message, God is Bigger. God is Bigger. And we're going to talk about that. And actually, why don't you go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Hold your place there. There's a scripture that's just kind of coming up in my heart that I am to share with you. Hold your place in Deuteronomy. Go to the New Testament, to the Gospel of John, and go to John chapter 3 and verse 30. We're going to get to that here in just a moment, but I'm just going to get right to the point right off the top of this service. God has to be bigger in our lives. With all the craziness that is going on in this world, with the spiritual attack that is taking place in our world, God must be bigger in our lives. Now, He's always great. He's always almighty. When I say He must be bigger, I mean we must make Him greater in our lives. We must give Him greater influence in our life. We must hand ourselves over to Him in a greater measure, because I tell you what, the world is turning up the heat. The devil is turning up the heat. The demonic realm is moving, you know, very much in these last days. We need to make sure that as sin abounds, God's grace does much more abound. What we have with God, He is the greater one on the inside of us. The Bible says He's greater than anything that is in the world. He is bigger and He must be greater in our lives. You are living in a very interesting time on this earth. I'll tell you what, it is unlike any other time in history. Actually, just the past few years are so radically different and unique, and we must be prepared with the Word of God. You are living in the days of hypermedia. You are living in the days of hyper social media. You are living in the days where the world is all connected. Everybody has an opinion. Everybody is fighting and warring or opinionating, you know, online, and everybody has access to everybody's thoughts. There are so many voices in the world right now that are trying to distract us, distort our mind, control our thinking. We live in the days of hyper vile politics. We live in a day and a time where our current president, there has been 3 attempts already on his life. We are the most divided as a nation that we've ever been before. We're living in a time of hyperinflation. The cost of living is increasing faster than the economy can grow. That means that our money that we do have is able to purchase less and less. Say, Pastor, I thought this, where's our happy Mother's Day? Where's the happy Mother's Day message here? Well, the good news is coming, all right? The good news is coming. But we're living in days that are just absolutely wild. You live in the days now where artificial intelligence is a thing. You are living in the days where people are communicating with technology more than they're communicating with God. You're living in a day and time where people are turning to artificial intelligence to be their friend, to be their companion. They are turning to artificial intelligence for quick answers. They would rather get a self-gratifying answer from an artificial intelligence than to seek God, get His word, and hear His voice in their heart. They would rather be led by that than led by the Spirit of God. It is dangerous. It exists and it will be manipulated to remove prayer out of our lives, to try to destroy our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Artificial intelligence will tell you that this is ridiculous, that the Bible is just a myth. You better be careful. You're living in the days where there are more voices and influences to distort your thinking, to distract you from the Word of God. If you are 1 foot in and 1 foot out with God, there are so much that's going to just draw you all the way out. It is time to be stirred up. It is time to buckle down. It is time to get back to what the Word says. We're living in a time when your nation, when our nation, our chickens are coming home to roost, so to speak, both financially, morally, and spiritually. Our nation is becoming morally bankrupt. Our nation is becoming spiritually bankrupt. Our nation is already financially bankrupt. And it's not just this administration or this generation. It's the result of many generations that have not balanced our books here in this country, where we are in such national debt that it is completely unsustainable. It is unserviceable. The American dollar is living on life support. We're living in a day and a time where you know, all of this stuff, all these generations, it's all coming to an impasse right in the days that we live in. And now, upon all of this stuff, with all the things that we have to think of, now our government is releasing our nation's secrets on alien life, alien civilization. It feels ridiculous that I even have to mention this. I'll be honest, when I even say this, but if you're not aware, if you're not a news junkie, then good for you, for sure. I'm not a news junkie, but I just check it every once in a while. And our nation, the Trump administration, just released in the name of transparency, which I believe they're sincerely just trying to, you know, let the American people know. But there is, you know, there was a release of United States secrets of what we know about alien life, extraterrestrials that have visited, you know, this planet. And there is, you know, a release of information, not just by our government, but the governments around the world that are out saying, hey, go ahead and make your own decision. There's all these new videos that have come out. If you haven't had a chance to see them, I'm not recommending that you look at them, but they're so blurry. They're so grainy. They're so inconclusive. And my first thought is if this is the best our government has, my picture, my cell phone has a better camera on it. And so it's all inconclusive. There's nothing. It's all of these little white Tic Tacs flying around. And all of a sudden, even just in the last couple of days since this stuff was released, we're seeing politicians on both sides of the aisle. They are grabbing a hold of it. And some have already implied that this discovery totally eliminates the need for faith. That this discovery will prove that humanity was planted here by somebody else. They're already, you know, licking their chops. They're implying that it will discredit the Bible. I am here to tell you, in the days that you live in the years ahead, when the governments of this world are going to tell you that we are not alone, that alien life exists, they're going to show you all sorts of whimsical and flimsy evidence. I'm here to tell you it will all be a manipulation and it will be a lie. Say, Pastor, are you seriously talking about this on Mother's Day? Listen, it's God's day, first and foremost. And as a pastor, unfortunately, you know, the role falls to me to make sure that God's people don't get deceived. Because what is going on, and the point I'm making is that you are living in the absolute craziest times on this earth. Artificial intelligence that can think, you know, much faster than the human brain, that now people are putting their trust in it and believing that it's a superior intelligence. And now, you know, our government leaders are starting to suggest, you know, that alien life is real and it eliminates the God of the Bible. I'm here to tell you, you're living in the days where there is so much distorted thinking. And more than all these natural things or political things, you are living in the times of great spiritual attack. Spirituality is at an all-time low in our nation, and also people are just different. Have you noticed over the last several years, people are getting more cold, more heartless? People are getting more easily offended, more touchy, more moody, more distracted, because everything in our lives is just trying to pull us away from this Word of God. And folks, you say, well, Pastor, why all this heavy-duty stuff to start with? Because I've got good news for you. God is bigger than all of it. And we're going to have to make a decision that He is going to be supreme in our life. He's going to be the priority of our lives. That this Word is more true than anything you see on the news. The Bible says, let God be true, let every man be a liar. You know, regardless of what a politician says, regardless of what kind of grainy film some Tic Tac racing around on the screen, I'm here to tell you, He's greater than it all. God is smarter than artificial intelligence. Yes, it's true, we're not alone in this world. I'm here to tell you, there are angels, there are demons, there is God the Father, there is the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the Holy Ghost, there is the devil, and there are demons, and that is absolutely true. 100%, but I'm here to tell you, there is no alien life. There is none, and they know it. You say, well, Pastor, can't both be true? No. No. Pick one. Pick one. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I'll tell you what, in these days, if you are going to endure to the end, you're going to need to make God bigger in your life. I'm going to need God to be bigger in my life. Amen. Go to John chapter 3 and look at verse 30. Remember what John the Baptist said. Now remember, the Gospel of John is not written by John the Baptist. That was a different John. That was the Apostle John. John the Baptist, he said this. And we'll just go right to John 3:30 if you could bring it up, please. And this was during this discourse where Jesus was just beginning his ministry. Jesus was going to be water baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist. How many of you remember this? John said something. Here is one of, Jesus said that John the Baptist, he said, of men born of women, which is pretty much all of us, unless you were hatched somewhere, right? You were born of a woman. And Jesus said this, he said, of men born, he said, none are greater than John the Baptist. That is how much credibility he put on John the Baptist. And John, as he was, you know, transitioning into giving Jesus the spotlight, so to speak, John was, you know, very popular. People were coming out from Jerusalem out into the wilderness to hear him preach. He was water baptizing everybody. He was the biggest thing going. But then the plan of God was to change, that Jesus was to come to the forefront, right? And John the Baptist humbled himself and took himself out of the spotlight. And he said this, John the Baptist said this about Jesus and the Lord. He said, he must increase. I must decrease. There is a motto for our lives right there. He must increase. I must decrease. His plans must increase in my life, right? My plans must decrease in my life. Amen. And I'm here to tell you, in the days that we're living in right now, he must increase. But who in this generation is going to get on their face and on their knees before God and start praying and start believing? Amen. Start obeying the word. Glory to God. We need to be stirred up and we need to buckle down. Are you here today? He must increase, but I must decrease. This was not, you know, part of the message while we were in praise and worship. All of a sudden, that verse started just speaking to my heart. Just started speaking in my heart. I knew it was in John chapter 3. I just opened my Bible. I was fishing that verse down. That's the Lord's word to us. Amen. He's got to increase in your life. All you young people, all you teenagers, I see many teenagers in you here. Make that your life's mission. You must decrease. He must increase. There's your answer for this life. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 7. And today I'm going to give you three things that you can do, things that you can say, things that you can pray to make God bigger in your life. I tell you what, there's so much loneliness in these days. There's so many, you know, hateful people. There's so many crazy things going on in the news. You're living in the era of world conflict. You're living in the era of high energy costs. I'm here to tell you, God is bigger than the gas prices. God is bigger than the war with Iran. He's bigger than the world conflict that's coming up. He is bigger than all of it. And we have to start making sure that he is very big in our lives. And we're going to tell you how to do that here today. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. We're going to go to verse 9. This is a day when Moses was leading Israel. Moses is actually the author of this verse. And we'll go over here and we'll just look at this verse. And, you know, he's dealing with Israel. They're coming out of Egypt. And he's now leading them in the desert. And Moses is trying to get them to know and understand who God is. How many of you know those Israelites, they needed to make God bigger in their lives because they lost sight of how big he was. And they were destroyed in that wilderness when they were supposed to prosper in that place because they lost sight of how big God is. Don't let this world impress you. Don't be so impressed with AI. Don't be so impressed with technology. Listen, if we're so impressed with this world, we'll fail to be impressed by the God who created the heavens and the earth. Be impressed with him. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Look at what he says. He says, know therefore. He says, know this. Here's what you got to know. He says, know that the Lord your God, he is God. He is the faithful God. And he is the God that keeps covenant and mercy with them that love him and that keep his commandments. He keeps covenant and mercy to 1,000 generations. If you've ever wanted to know who God is and the number one thing to know about him, know this, that he is faithful to covenant. He is a promise keeper. Amen. Here's the number one thing we're going to talk about that you can do in your life to make God bigger. All right? Tell God who he is. Tell God how big he is. Moses was trying to get Israel to understand, tell him he's the faithful God. Tell him that he's the one that keeps covenant and mercy to 1,000 generations. See, it's not just that God needs to hear these things. We need to hear these things. Our heart needs to hear our mouth telling God how faithful he is. What a promise keeper he is. One thing that we can do so often when we go to pray, and today, absolutely, this will be a lesson in how to start your prayer life with God. If you're just trying to make it through this life, just trying to be moral and trying to be a good person and think that that's enough, I'm telling you, you're deceived. God is not, of course, morality is just a byproduct of faith. Of course, faith is always moral, but morality is not the goal. The goal is to know him for who he is. And when God, in his own word, tells us who he is, he wants us to tell him what we believe who he is. Remember Jesus asked that of his disciples? Remember Jesus did that? Remember he turned to his disciples? He says, who do these people say that I am? And remember they said, well, Master, some say that you're one of the old prophets risen from the dead, or some say that you're John the Baptist risen from the dead. And remember Jesus turned to Peter and he said, but who do you say that I am? Remember that? How many of you remember this? And Peter said, you, Lord, are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And Jesus turned to Peter. He said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. God the Father gives us a revelation of who he is so we can tell him who he is. Here is two things that you can tell him when you start to pray. Prayer should be less about you and more about him. So many times we think prayer with God is going in and dumping our problems on God. We think that prayer is just, you know, where we go to him and tell him, you know, I need this and I need that. But Jesus gave us a fashion or a model of how to pray. How many of you remember this? We call it the Lord's Prayer. And he told us not to make it a vain repetition. But what have we made it? A vain repetition. We just repeat it, thinking that that prayer itself, just repeating it in a religious way, will have power. Jesus said, no, no, this is a manner of which you pray, or an example. Remember, and how Jesus started? He said, our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That word hallowed, it means you are holy. God, Jesus, when he started to pray, he told his Father who he is. You are holy. You are mighty. Amen. Or literally, Jesus was saying, you are bigger than all else. You are the most impressive to me. Amen. When you get down and pray, you can go right to your knees. How many of you know we need to start praying with honor and reverence again? There needs to be a time in our lives every day that we are hitting our knees before God or going right to our face. Because in the scripture, that's how they prayed. In Ephesians 3:14, Paul the Apostle, he said it this way. He said, for this reason, I bow my knees to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I bow my knees. Not just mumble some prayer on the way to work. Oh boy, wow. You know, over the last couple weeks, I've been talking about making sure that we live for something bigger than ourselves. Last week, we talked about get over yourself. And of course, is it wrong to pray on your way to work? No, I'm just saying that should not be your only time. You know, if we're not careful, we have these, you know, mumbly, dishonorable prayers. We just, you know, we talk to God sometimes in dishonor. We don't mean to do it. But if we've got to have a time, listen, it's just fine to pray on the way to work. But there needs to be a time in your day that you go to your knees. You and God, you go before him, you humble yourself, and you crucify your own will in his presence. Is there anybody here today? Amen. And the first thing that you do when you get down there upon your knees before him, you start telling him who he is. Father, you are the faithful God. You are the one that keeps your covenant to 1,000 generations. Father, you're the one that is always merciful to me. See, the first words out of your mouth are already saying, I believe that whatever I'm asking for, God is going to provide it. He's going to move in my life. Are you here today? Go to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 27, or excuse me, 32, verse 27. We're going to go over there. Actually, start at verse 17. Go to Jeremiah 32, 17. These are just some things that you can say when you start praying honorably before God. How many of you want your prayer to be powerful and effective? Oh, come on, moms. We know you love to pray. You love to have, you know, a powerful, effective prayer. We all can do that. Amen. God is bigger. He is the faithful God. He is the one that keeps mercy and covenant to 1,000 generations. You know what that means? He's willing and desirous to be faithful to you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at Jeremiah 32, 17. I love how this verse starts. Jeremiah the prophet, he says, "Ah, Lord God." Ah, I don't know exactly what that means, but I have a feeling that that is, you know, Jeremiah the prophet saying, God is so good. Amen. Oh, Lord God. It says, behold, I love this. Jeremiah the prophet, one of the mightiest men of God that ever walked this earth, he says, behold, God, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for you. What if you and I spoke that way? Not saying that you're not. I'm sure many of you are, right? I'm just saying, again, this is one way you make God bigger in your life. See, because God is going to be who you say he is. Amen. You know, when Peter said, you are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God, that's who the Lord was to him. Amen. When you say, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, when you declare him to be your provider, that's what he's going to be in your life. When you start saying, the Lord is my healer and he is my strength, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, that's what he's going to be in your life. How many of you got saved by calling on the name of Jesus? Do we have anyone saved here? How did you get saved? You said, Jesus is Lord. And I believe that God the Father raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Right? What were you doing? You were declaring who he is. You couldn't get saved without telling him who he is. But yet we pray so often telling him how bad our troubles are, how big the problem is, how terrible, you know, this and that, the lack of money, you know, the problems, you know, marital problems and money problems and family problems and car problems and all this stuff that we're dealing with. And believe me, those trials are real. No one is suggesting that they're not. But I'm here to tell you, there's God who is much bigger than anything that you're facing. He's bigger than your marriage problems. He's bigger than the money problems. He's bigger than anything that you need or face in this life. Amen? Are you here today? What if, so now I want you to start to understand this initial way that we go in and we pray. And I'm just giving you verses that tell us who God is. Oh, Father, you are the one that have created the heavens and the earth with your great power and your stretched out arm. If he is the God that hung all those galaxies in that place, if he's the one that put those stars in the sky, I'm here to tell you he can fix your problem. Amen. Amen. See, we've got to hear our own voice declaring how big God is, so we will stop worrying, so we'll stop being pressured. Are you here? Amen. See, praise God. Jeremiah, he said, Lord, you are the one that created the heavens and the earth. What if we went before God and said, Father, you are the faithful God who keeps covenant to 1,000 generations. Father, you are the one that created the heavens and the earth. Nothing is too hard for you. Go down to verse 27 in the same chapter. Look at what Jeremiah says again. He, and of course, this is the Lord's voice now coming through the prophet Jeremiah. The Lord says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? What if we start talking to God like that? Not saying that you're not, you know, not saying that I'm not. But let's face it, at times we let these things slip. And it's time to be stirred up and buckled down. And it's time to start every single day with the Lord, where we go to our knees and we start telling him who he is. You need this. We need this. This world needs this. What if you told God, you're the God of all flesh? Father, you created this body. You know how to fix it. Father, you created this body. You know how to provide for it. You created this body. I don't have to be worried about anything. Hallelujah. You're the God of all living. Is there anything too hard for you? Wow, glory to God. All of this, everything, if you just start putting together everything that we've even talked about so far, this is just the first 60 seconds of your prayer time. Amen. Where now you've infused faith in how much bigger God is than what you're dealing with in this life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Go to the New Testament now. Go to Matthew chapter 22. Glory to God. Who do you say that he is? Do you want God to be bigger in your life? Tell him that he's the faithful God who keeps covenant to 1,000 generations. Tell him he's the one that created the heavens and the earth with his power and his stretched out arm, and nothing is too hard for him. Tell him he's the God of all flesh. Hallelujah. Tell him. Say, oh, pastor, that's just weird and that's radical. Well, first of all, it'll be just you and him there. If it makes you feel weird or whatever, it's just you and him. God's not going to feel strange about it. Your flesh might, but that's okay. You want your flesh to crawl at times. God lives on the other side of when your flesh is very uncomfortable. Amen. Look at Jesus' words over here in Matthew 22, 32. Are you here on Mother's Day? Amen. Matthew 22, 32. Jesus is quoting his Heavenly Father. I love this verse. I love what Jesus said. He's in the previous verse, he's saying, have you not heard what my Father said? I love this. He says, I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. I am the God of Jacob, for he is not the God of the dead. He is the God of the living. All right. So if you have loved ones that died in Christ, I'm here to tell you, they're not dead. There's no dead people in heaven. They're more alive now than they've ever been before. And I'm here to tell you, if you have Jesus living in your heart today, you have eternal life living on the inside of you. God is not the God of the dead. He's the God of eternal life. Amen. Amen. Even though the church, I don't mean this one, I just mean in general, if we're not careful, we will act like we're dead. But God gave us life. Amen. But notice he calls himself the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Why does God call him by those names? Why does he call himself by those names? Because that is covenant language. That is him saying, I started with Abraham. And I will be faithful to Abraham and all of his seed forever and ever. Who was Isaac? The seed of Abraham. Who was Jacob? The seed of Abraham. Who are you? The seed of Abraham. He said, I am the God that continually provides life to the seed of Abraham. Can you bring up Galatians 3:29? Boy, I haven't brought this up for a little while. I go to this verse quite often. Can you bring up Galatians 3:29? Just put it on the screen. It says, and if you be Christ's, do we have anyone that belongs to Christ here today? Then you are Abraham's seed. See, when God says, I am the God of Abraham, he's saying, I am faithful to every promise for those that are his seed. It says, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, and you have inherited the promise that God made to him. Hallelujah. So now, here's another thing that you can tell God who he is. You're the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Father, you are faithful to me every day of my life. Amen. Amen. You are the faithful God who keeps covenant to 1,000 generations. You are the creator of all the heavens and all the earth by your great power and stretched out arm. You're the God of all flesh, and nothing is too hard for you. Oh my goodness. I just feel faith rising in me just preaching this. Because so many Christians make the fatal error of making everything about themselves. See, the devil would love for you to be consumed with your own problems. He would love for you to go before God and just make it about you. But we don't do that to our Heavenly Father. It doesn't mean you can make requests and you can ask God. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying how you start, how you begin, and how you talk with God. We got to stir ourselves up. We got to buckle down. Someone in this generation needs to get on their face before God, not saying that you're not. and tell him how big he is and get hungry for him and tell him, Father, I am more impressed with you than I am the internet. I'm more impressed with you than I am artificial intelligence. I'm more impressed with you than I am that anything that money could buy me. Amen. Are you here? Go to Hebrews chapter 11. Tell God who he is. God is bigger. Say, Pastor, but life is so tough. I just go before God and tell him how bad things are. Oh, you're missing it. You're missing the opportunity to walk in strength and power. Say, Pastor, but I just go before God and tell him how miserable everything is. Be careful. You've missed an opportunity. Go to Hebrews 11:11. Speaking of good mothers. Are you ready to talk about a good mom right here? Here it is. See, you didn't think I would add in something that would just be pertinent to Mother's Day. Here we go. Actually, I was going here anyway. Praise the Lord. Just being honest with you. God loves praying moms. All right. How many of you know? How many of you here are the result of praying moms? Yeah, you know it. Yes, thank God. Many of you. Praise the Lord. You say, well, Pastor, that wasn't me. My mom wasn't that. Well, you be that. Then you start it in your family tree. You be the point that they, and we'll talk about this, because Sarah did something for her family tree. Watch this. Sarah was Abraham's wife. And remember the story of Abraham and Sarah? Abraham was where God started his covenant. He made this promise to this man. His wife was Sarah. Abraham was 75 and Sarah was 65. And God came to them and said, you know, they had no children. And God said, I'm going to make your descendants like the stars of the sky. You won't be able to count them all. And Abraham said, how am I going to have descendants? He said, I don't have any children. My heir is a servant in my house. And God said, well, that's not going to be that way forever. He said, you and your wife will have a biological child. And they were 75 and 65. And they're like, okay. Well, guess what? God made them a promise that they would have a child, 75 and 65. And we'll just use Sarah's age of 65. 70 came around for her, and the child still hadn't shown up. 75 came around, no child. 80 came around, no child. 85 years old came around, still no child. Almost 90 years old, and there still was no child. And Abraham was 100 years old. And then a miracle happened, and Sarah gave birth to Isaac. God's promise came to pass. But where, see, we just think that God will just do these things all on his own. Are you ready for this? You say, well, God just did it. He just chose Sarah. He just did it all. Of course, he gets all the glory. But Sarah was involved. Watch this. It says, through faith, Sarah herself. That's what the Bible says. We're not taking God out of this equation. Don't misunderstand me. But it was Sarah's faith that God used in order to bring that child to pass. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to become pregnant and was delivered a child when she was past age. Don't you love the understatements of the Bible? She became a mother at 90 years old. And the Bible says that she stayed in faith year after year after year when that promise did not show up. When it looked like her body was getting older, getting more barren, less fruitful. The circumstances were getting more difficult. Hope was fading away. But look what it says that Sarah did. She received strength through her faith because, everyone say because. It doesn't say because God just decided to do something randomly. That's how a lot of Christians think. Well, if God just wants it to happen, he'll make it happen. Wrong. God doesn't do anything random. God doesn't do anything apart from your actions. Anyway, that went over well. I'm here to tell you, it's not on God's side. It's not on God's side. He's willing. He's able. It says, because she, Sarah, judged him faithful who had promised. She judged him. The word judge there means that she came to a verdict. She came to a verdict. How many of you have ever watched, you know, some court show on TV? Law and Order or some other, I don't know what's out there. That's an old show probably by now. But, you know, maybe you've seen even court TV or real court cases or whatever. You know, after all the evidence has been presented, the jury deliberates and they come out and they say, have you reached a verdict? And when that jury comes to that verdict is the final decision. All right? That's what Sarah did. Here she was, 65 years old. She was already past age by the time the promise was even given. And she said, you know what? The final verdict in my life is God is faithful. The one who promised is faithful. 65, 66, 67, God is faithful. I've already made the decision. He's faithful. 70, 72, 75, 78, God is faithful. That's what she was doing. 81, 82, 83 years of age, she was saying, I've already rendered a verdict. God is faithful. God is faithful because he promised. And then one day when she was 90 years old, a miracle happened because she received strength because she kept saying, God is faithful. What was Sarah doing? She was telling God who he is. Amen. Amen. There's a mom. There's an example. That's why she's eternally remembered in the scripture, because she just kept telling God how faithful he was. Look at verse 12. Notice it says, therefore. Therefore. Something happened. Not just for Sarah, not just for Abraham, but for the entire world, because a woman stayed faithful and judged God faithful. Folks, what's going to be the therefore in your life? How are your generations, how are your kids going to be affected because you kept judging God faithfully? How was the generations after you going to be affected because you kept judging God faithfully? It says, therefore, sprang there even of one, talking about Abraham now, because he had a wife who kept saying, God's faithful. There came a child out of one, Abraham, and Abraham was as good as dead. Well, that's a real compliment. He was 100, having a child. And out of this one man, there came so many as the stars in the sky, a multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. Do we have any grains of sand here today? We are those stars in the sky. We are those grains of sand that God is talking about, because Abraham and Sarah had Isaac. The nation of Israel came into being through Isaac and Jacob. And then Israel was the birth line of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, that we are now adopted into God's family through his blood. Because there was a mom who kept saying, God is faithful. God is faithful. Here we are all these generations later. When we get to heaven, we're going to stand, no doubt, and get to meet Sarah. We need to say, Sarah, thank you. When it looked bleak, you kept telling God how faithful he is. When things were going wrong, you kept telling God how faithful he is. When gas prices kept going up, when groceries got more expensive, when someone lost a job, when marriages were struggling, someone somewhere needs to keep telling God how faithful he is. What's your verdict? There's a lot of Christians that they have not made a verdict yet. They're still deliberating. Oh, they're 1 foot in, 1 foot out. They want a little bit of God and they want some sin too. There's just a problem with that. They haven't come to a complete verdict. And these days, there is so much, and this was the point of where I started here today. There's so much craziness in the world that if you're 1 foot in, 1 foot out, if you're still deliberating, it'll be so easy for you to be drawn away from the path that God has for you. You'll make the wrong decision of what to follow. We are living in the days of a spiritual shaking, and God is eliminating all crutches. He's eliminating all middle ground. He's eliminating all the things that we try to just prop up our lives with that aren't from God. He's going to start kicking those things out. And we need to make a decision. Sarah said, my God is faithful. My God is faithful to covenant to 1,000 generations. My God is a creator of the heavens and the earth. And so if I have to have a child, even when I'm 90 years old, it'll come to pass because he promised. My God is the God of all flesh. Nothing is too hard for him. My God is a God that restores marriages. My God is a God that heals bodies. My God is a God who provides joy and answers. This is how you pray. Say, well, Pastor, I'm so worried. I'm so worried. If you are a worrier, it's because you're praying wrong. Oh, boy, Pastor, oh, my word. Let's go to the second thing. Are you ready? Number one, tell God who he is. And the second and third thing is real quick and easy. Two, thank him. Thank him. This will be real easy to understand. Go to Philippians chapter 4. You're in Hebrews 11. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, you're the God, the faithful God. Lord, I judge you faithful. Lord, you're the creator of the heavens and the earth. You're the God of all flesh. You're the God that keeps covenant to me and mercy to me all the time. Oh, praise the Lord. I almost get so wrapped up in who he is. By the time I would need to talk to about God about a problem, it's already gone. I don't know if that makes sense. You say, Pastor, but you just act like life is perfect. No, I'm telling you this because life is not perfect. You know, I'm telling you this, how to pray because of the days and times you're living in. You are living in the absolute wildest spiritual environment that this planet has ever seen. You are living in a time in this nation's history, the greatest, most powerful nation on this earth that was started by the hand of God has turned away from its creator. It will not last forever. There's only a matter of time. As this nation continues to forsake God, God will have no choice but to hand this nation over. Well, that's real pleasant. I'm not saying it because it's easy to hear. I'm saying it because the church needs to stir up and buckle down. We need to pray. God's got to be bigger in our nation, and that starts in the home. That starts with men and women who are going to their knees and their face and telling God how big he is. Say, well, Pastor, how long, how much time do I have to be there? Stop thinking that way. Stop thinking that way. It's not about that. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Philippians 4:6, have you found it? Hallelujah. God is bigger. I'll tell you what, when your heart and your mind are hearing you say that in prayer to God, worry is going to dissolve away. Look at Philippians 4:6. Here's the second thing we can do. Be thankful or thank him. The Bible says, be careful for nothing. You know, and I always say that little kids love that verse because they can tell mom, see, the Bible says I don't have to be careful, mom. Mom says, be careful. And kids say, no, the Bible says you don't be careful for anything. It's not what it's talking about there. If you have a more modern translation of the Bible, the word careful is the word for anxious. How many of you have a Bible that says anxious? Yeah, many of you. Or you can literally say it this way, be worried for nothing. Wow. Be worried for nothing. So notice in the Bible, it's completely possible to live a life that you are never worried. Now, it is not possible to live a life without the temptation to worry. But it is possible to live a life that you are beyond worry. All right? It is possible, unfortunately, in the body of Christ. Listen, we're all human. It's not always likely. You know? Unfortunately, sometimes we all, you know, make a mistake and fall into worry or whatever. But there is a way to live beyond worry. It says, be anxious. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about what the doctor told you. Don't worry about those finances that are due. Don't worry about that situation in your marriage or with your kids. Don't worry about that new job. Don't worry about these things. Right? Because worrying is literally what takes God out of the situation. It tells us how we can get to that point of not worrying anymore. It says, but in everything. Everyone say everything. Wow, don't be worried for nothing. I love that. Not one thing. Not one thing should worry you. but in everything by what? Prayer. That means talking to God. Well, that could be tell God how big he is. With supplication and with what, everybody? Thanksgiving. Make your requests be known unto God. Notice thanksgiving should come before your requests. Here's the second thing you can do to make God bigger in your life. Thank him. Thank him. How many things do you have to be thankful for? Oh, everything. Everything. How about what God gave you that was the most valuable to him? Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for that precious blood that was shed for me. Father, thank you that you redeemed me. Even when I was lost in my sins, even when I was sinning against you, you still loved me. Thank you, Father. I love how Jacob, right? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the grandson of Abraham, who was the one that was responsible. He had the 12 sons that became the 12 tribes of Israel, which became the nation of Israel, which became where Jesus was born, which became the blood of our redemption, all right? Jacob, at the end of his life, remember, he brought his sons into him, remember this? And he said in his old age, he says, I thank the God who has fed me every day of my life. One of the greatest men of the Bible, here at the end of his life, he said, I'm just going to thank God. He fed me every day. He fed me every day. Father, thank you. You feed us every day. Father, you've put a roof over our heads. Father, thank you for the home that you've provided. Father, thank you for the income. Something I love to tell God all the time. You hear me say it around here all the time. We have nothing good without him. Father, I have nothing good without you. I am nothing without you. Number one, tell God who he is. Two, thank him. Be worried for nothing. See, if you're thanking God and telling him who he is, worry and anxiety will start to lessen. Amen. When your own heart and your mind is hearing you talk about, he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. He's the God who's faithful to covenant. He's the God who is the God of all flesh. When you build that into your mind and in your heart, worry is going to dissipate out of your life. If you're attacked with anxiety, I'm giving you the solution right here and right now. Literally, that word careful says, do not have anxiety for anything, but by prayer. See, and that's why we say if you're praying right, worry should go away there. Prayer is the place that worry goes to die. If you come out of prayer as worried as you went in, I'm here to tell you, you didn't pray right. God wasn't exalted in your prayer. Maybe your troubles were exalted. Maybe your problems were exalted. But when he's exalted, worry goes away. Because when God is made to look so big in your life, your troubles are made to look so small. Is there anybody here today? I say, Pastor, I'm just not into this as much as you. I love when people say that to me. I'm just not into this. Well, then you're not into blessing. And I'll tell you what, when the hour gets dark, you won't be into help and blessing and all that you need. Are you here? Psalm 100, verse 4, a very familiar scripture. It says, enter into God's gates with thanksgiving and enter into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Notice it blesses God when you thank him. Everything I've said to this point, if you put it all together, is just the first 2 minutes of prayer. I'm not teaching you completely how to pray. I'm teaching you how to start. Because in so many things, if your starting point is wrong, your destination will be wrong. Your goal is not to make your spouse do everything you want them to do. Your goal is to pray for them. Your home needs you praying. Your kids need you praying. You know, nobody in your home needs you disgusted. No one in your home needs you hot and bothered. No one in your home needs you losing your temper. But your home needs somebody somewhere on their face telling God how big he is. Someone in your home, it should be everybody in the home, thanking God and entering into his presence. Remember what Jesus said over there in Luke 10:20? He said, don't rejoice because the demons are subject to you in my name. He said, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Could we thank him for that? Father, thank you that my name's written in heaven. Thank you I'm part of the family of God. Hallelujah. No matter what garbage goes on in this earth, no matter of the troubled times, I'm on the winning side. Paul said it this way. He said, not famine, not sword. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Someone came and tried to kill you with a sword. You're still rejoicing that you're redeemed in the blood. You know, he said, not famine. Or literally, we would say it this way, economic collapse and financial turmoil. Our nation's chickens are coming home to roost financially. You do know that, right? You do understand that there is a ploy, and I'm speaking by the Holy Ghost, there is a ploy of the devil to catch Christians off guard in the last days so that they will go broke. Just letting you know. Many Christians are walking in disobedience with God. They have not obeyed him financially, and they're walking beyond or without the blessing of the tithe. They're walking outside of the blessing of God, and someday that will be put to the test. And there is a ploy by the enemy to get Christians distracted, to move them into a half-hearted commitment with God. Are you here? I'm just obeying the Holy Ghost. There is a ploy by the enemy to draw Christians into a place where they won't be able to help provide for a ministry, a local church. Are you here? Anyway, that's free, no charge. Say, Pastor, you know, just sometimes it just feels too serious. Well, you're living in serious times, very serious times. And it's the love of God to prepare us. Isn't he good to prepare us? I tell you what, I'd rather be prepared than just coming to church and hearing 3 points in a poem. I could have read you some Hallmark cards today. I love you and God loves you. Thank him. Father, I rejoice. My name is written in heaven. You know, all this stuff, I don't, whatever China's doing, Russia's doing, America's doing, all this stuff, my name is written there. Hallelujah. This life, the Bible says, is just like a mist or a vapor. It's here one day, gone the next. Have you learned that yet? My goodness. But heaven is forever. Amen. Third and finally, what we can do, we can pray for the plan. Number one, tell God who he is. He's the faithful God. He keeps covenant and mercy to 1,000 generations. He's a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's a God that created the heavens and the earth by his power and stretched out arm. He's the God of all flesh. Nothing is too hard for him. Amen. Glory to God. I thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus. I thank you, Father, that you have redeemed us with your mercy. Thank you, Father, that you have fed us every single day of our lives. Lord, I have nothing good without you. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that angels go before us. No evil befall us, no plague near our dwelling. Thank you, with long life, you satisfy us and show us your salvation. Thank you, Lord God, I am lacking nothing in this earth. You are the seed of Abraham. Third and finally, pray for his plan. Colossians 1:9. Just turn over there. You're just a few pages. Literally in my Bible, it is one page away. Go over to Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. We're going to end right here. I am going to maybe show you just one or two verses here, one or two short passages, and then I will give you some references for those of you that are taking notes and really want to, you know, dig in with this stuff. I'll give you some homework. Praise God. God loves you. The Apostle Paul, he's the one writing to the church at Colossae in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. And he says this, the Apostle Paul, do you think he knew a little something about God? I think he knew a little something about how to pray. Paul says this by the Holy Spirit. He said, and this, of course, this prayer is now eternally recorded in God's word. He says, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard of it, we do not stop to cease to pray for you. And we pray or desire that you would be filled with the knowledge of God's will and all spiritual understanding. Notice Paul didn't say, hey, I pray that you have enough money. He didn't say, I pray that you get the job of your dreams. Oh, I pray that you get the house of your dreams. Oh, I pray that you get... Listen, God is in the blessing business. How many of you want a 20-second prosperity sermon? Here you go. You want to know what the Bible says about prosperity? Matthew 6:33, right? Seek him first in all of his righteousness, right? And then these things will be added to you. It is not for you to pursue what God said he'll bless you by just following him. There it is. 20 seconds. That's prosperity. Seek him first. Oh, my goodness. I'm seeing so many ministers lose the anointing on their life because all they can talk about is money. They're losing it. They're losing it. It ain't there. They think it's there, but it ain't. Because they're talking about their homes. They're talking about, you know, they're fleecing people out of money. Stop it. Lord, we don't want judgment. We don't cry out for judgment. We cry out for mercy. We don't need greedy pulpits. We need anointed pulpits in America. I don't know. I just feel like the Spirit of God is grieved. Anyhow, moving right along. But notice this. He says, pray that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will. In God's will is everything you're going to need. In God's will is where you receive the strength that you need, the provision that you need. Listen, in God's will, your life has souls attached to it. In God's plan, you will be an example to follow. But if you follow your plan, you can real quickly become a charity case. Oh, my goodness. Why do we see in these last days, and I don't mean the poor people, don't misunderstand this. I'm talking about Christians. If we're not careful, we go to God with a charity case mentality. When stop being a charity case. When are we going to say, you know what, I don't want to be a charity case. I want to be an example. I want to be an example that's fit to be followed and fit to be emulated. Not just going before God to whimper and whine and exalt my problems. I want to exalt him. Yes, life is tough. Have you figured that out yet? Your family needs an example to follow. Your friends need an example to follow. And they need to see somebody that is more after God's will than their own will. When we go and we pray, we say, Father, your will be done. Didn't Jesus teach us that? Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, your will be done. Every day of my life, Father, your will, your plan. Lord, if you know your plan for our lives as a family, if it's to take us out of here, we'll do it. If it's to keep us here forever, we'll do it. Lord, whatever it takes. Lord, if you want me to pastor a church in New York City, oh, Lord, deliver me. But I would do it. I would do it. Amen. Pray that the Lord's will is done. Are you ready? I'm going to end right here. Make sure that you are crucifying your will. Number one, tell God who he is. Two, thank him. Three, pray for his plan. Go before him. Empty your own ambitions before him. Crucify your own plan. Listen, these ones that cry out day in and day out for God's plan, they're going to get it. All of a sudden, one day, the Lord's going to give you an instruction. You're going to say, Pastor, I know what God wants me to do. You know, and he'll start small. He'll say, hey, do this or do that. Hey, serve in the church. Hey, join the cleaning team. Hey, volunteer in the youth group. Hey, do this. And then you take that small step, and then he opens another door and another path. And then doors start opening for you that you could have not possibly imagined what God would use you to do. All because it started with somebody on their face before the Lord saying, God, I pray that I be filled with the knowledge of your will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Here's some homework for you. Are you ready? Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Says that you pray that your love would abound more and more in knowledge and judgment. that you would approve of things that are excellent, or that you would know God's priority in your life. Philippians, that's chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. These are all prayers that you could pray. They're right there in your Bible. You could pray this before God. Ephesians chapter 1, are you ready? Ephesians 1, verses 15 through 23. That is a prayer of how to submit your will before God. Again, that was Ephesians 1, 15 through 23. And then finally, how about Ephesians 3, 14 through 19? Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. You probably hear me pray this around here all the time. Father, I pray that you'd grant unto us a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, that the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we would know the hope of your calling. Amen. You hear that prayer, and of course, that's just a part of it. But what if everything I've added up here today, you put it all together, and you've probably only got about 5 to 7 minutes of prayer? And again, that's just the beginning. You know, and believe me, we could go further teaching you how to pray. But if every Christian could at least start there, your faith is going to grow. Your prayers are going to be more effective. God's going to be bigger in your life. You're going to worry a whole lot less. Amen. God is bigger. You're living in crazy times. Stir it up. Buckle down. Hit your knees before God. Tell him who he is. Thank him and pray for his plan. Pretty simple. Will you do it? Who in this generation is going to be a doer of this word? Lord, here I am. That's the word of God. I'm sticking with it. Let's pray. Father, we love you and praise you. Father, you are holy. You are so good. You're the God that created the heavens and the earth. And so therefore, you can handle what we're facing. You're the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You are faithful to covenant and mercy to 1,000 generations. You're the God of all flesh, and nothing is too hard for you. Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you that we are the redeemed of the Lord. We have nothing good without you. Thank you that you have fed us every day of our lives. Father, we don't just thank you for what you've done. We thank you for what you're going to do. You are faithful and good. Father, we pray and we desire with all of our hearts that your will would be done, not our will. Father, fill us with a knowledge of your will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Show us your plan. Give us clarity. Order our steps. Anything in my life, Lord, that is not of you, I want it out. If there's something in my life that should not be there, Lord, reveal it to me. And I'll make the changes. Father, we're living in such days. World conflict. Runaway inflation. High energy costs. We're living in the days when people are more impressed with artificial intelligence than they are with you. Father, now we're being told by our government that aliens may exist. We're facing all these things that are trying to distort and distract our minds. We've got to get back to believing that you are bigger. We make you bigger in our life. Lord Jesus, you must increase. We must decrease. Father, we bless you today. With all eyes closed, every head bowed before we're dismissed, have you made Jesus the Lord of your life? Ask yourself this question in the quiet of your conscience. If today was my last day on this earth, would I be in heaven or would I be in hell? Am I saved? Do I know for a fact that I'm going to heaven? Ask yourself. If the answer is no, or if the answer is I don't know, well, you can get sure here today. The Bible tells us exactly how to get sure. It says in Romans 10:9, it says that if you will declare with your mouth, meaning if you will speak it with faith, that Jesus Christ is Lord, and if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. I believe that 2,000 years ago, Jesus was crucified on a cross, shed his blood for the remission of my sins, and I believe that on the third day, he walked out of that tomb. I believe it. Do you believe it? If you're here today and you've never made that decision, eyes are closed, heads are bowed. I'm not going to call you forward. I am not going to walk up to you. I'm not going to send anybody else. I'm not going to go after you or pull you aside or anything like that. This is between you and God. But if you're here today and you say, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus. I need to be saved. I need to know that my sins are washed. If that's you, I'm simply going to ask you to lift your hand for 1 second. As soon as I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. I'll lead the entire congregation in a prayer, and right there in your seat, you can make Jesus your Lord and Savior. If that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? I see that hand. And that hand, you can put it down. Is there anyone else? You say, Pastor, that's me. God loves you. We need to know these things. We need to learn the Bible. I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. God loves you. Is there anybody else? You say, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus. You know, we have several. I see that hand. Thank you. You put it down. Every week, we have several visitors. Every week, there's people that walk into this building that hear the gospel, and they realize they need to confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. But remember, today, you're not just getting fire insurance. You're not just trying to escape hell. You're joining a relationship with Jesus. Anyone else before we pray? I know this takes a little time, but that's all right. Anybody else before we pray? We had several hands. I'm going to lead us all in a prayer. If you lifted your hand, speak these words out of your mouth. Mean it with all of your heart. Be sincere with God. That's all it takes. He will hear you. He will wash and cleanse your sins. And we're all going to be praying along with you. Let's all go ahead and pray this prayer together, everybody. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Did you get some help here today? Folks, are you gonna do it? Again, this is just an easy way to start your fellowship with God. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Ladies, don't forget, we've got those beautiful flowers out there. We want you to be blessed. Make sure everyone gets one. If you wait around and there's some extras, we don't mind if people get an extra here and there. As long as they all just got to go today. Amen. Let's go ahead and rejoice. Mothers, we love you. We thank you. Let's pray a special prayer and a blessing for our moms here today. Father, we glorify you. Father, we ask that you would strengthen, bless, help, and encourage every mother and future mother that is in this room here today. Father, we thank you that you will provide their heart's desires. Father, we just say angels go before them. No evil befall them, no plague near their dwelling. Father, we are so grateful for our godly moms. Father, we give you, and we say it all together, Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.